You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
I'm so glad you're with us today because today we are kicking off a brand new teaching series just in time for Advent. You know, this is supposed to be a season of love and joy and peace and expectation for the celebration of the birth of our Savior, right? That's what this season is about. But let's also be honest and acknowledge that for many people, this is a difficult season. It's a season of loneliness and some people experience anxiety and fear. There's this sense of, you know, are things going to be like they are this time again next year? Am I going to go through another Christmas with these bills that I don't know if I can pay and these health problems and this stress that I'm experiencing? And so it can be a time of fear, unfortunately, for many people. And so here's what we're going to do over the next few weeks. We're going to take the next 3 weeks leading up to Christmas to look at the Christmas story. And I want us to look at three different times that angels appeared to different people during the Christmas story. And the message that they had for the people they appeared to was, fear not. Come on, everybody, say that with me. Fear not. I really believe for some of you, that's a word for you to grab a hold of for this Advent season, that this is not a season of fear. Fear not, because God has something good in store for your life. And so today, I want to discuss the fear of what God has planned for us. The fear of what God has planned for us. Because you would say, well, that sounds like a good thing. But oftentimes, we can be afraid of what God has planned for us. Because I think many people, without even realizing it, they kind of treat God like that annoying person who always wants something from you. How many of you know somebody like that? Some of you have somebody in mind like that right now. Don't nudge the person next to you. That's not cool. But we all have that person, right? Like, they always want something from us. Like, when they call, you let it go straight to voicemail. When you get their text, you kind of cringe, right? They always want something from you. Like, if you see them in the grocery store, you start shopping in the other direction. Like, you try to avoid them. You don't want to see them. And I think without realizing it, we can kind of be that way with God. Like, you know, I want a relationship with God. I want to be close enough with God to get all the good stuff from him. I want his blessings. I want his favor. But I don't know if I want to be so close to him that he might ask me to do something with my life that I don't want to do. Like, what if I fully gave every area of my life over to him and he calls me to be a missionary to Africa or something like that? I think sometimes we can be this way. We can have a little bit of fear, you know, about what God has for us. Like, I don't know, what if I give everything to him and it doesn't turn out the way that I hoped it would? Now, speaking of fear, some people, you know, when they think of fear, they think of it as the absence of faith. But I think a better way of thinking about fear is it's actually just having faith for the wrong things. It's believing for the worst case scenario. I would say that fear is placing your faith in the what ifs of life. Like, what if the economy falls apart? What if I lose my job? What if somebody I love gets sick? Like, what if, right? Like, we can so easily do that, can't we, with our minds? We can let our minds run wild with thinking about the worst case scenarios in every different direction. But I've got good news for you this morning, church. Come on, you came to church on the first day of Advent for some good news. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Can I get an amen? Somebody, come on, fear is not from God. He's got something better for you. He's got something better for you. So today, I want to talk to you about overcoming the fear of what God might be asking you to do with your life. And we're going to look at the story of the angel Gabriel when he appeared to a lowly maiden, a young virgin girl named Mary, and he had big news for her. He had a big announcement. In fact, some of you know this story as the Annunciation from the Christmas story. And here's the question we want to tackle today. Why are we often afraid of God's plans? Some of you, if you've walked with God long enough, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There can be actually not just joy and expectation, but sometimes there can be fear of what God might be asking of us. Why are we often afraid of God's plans? Well, here's the first idea. Number one is God's interruptions are often inconvenient. God's interruptions are often inconvenient. Have you experienced this? I want you to take some notes today. Put this in your notes. We're going to look at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 29, and talk about a certain interruption here. Here's what it says. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village of Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. Now stop right there for a moment. You might be wondering, who's Elizabeth? Why does it matter that she was pregnant? Let me just remind you, Elizabeth was Mary's cousin. And in fact, she was pregnant with a baby who would grow up to be John the Baptist, the one who would be the forerunner who would pave the way for Jesus, right? Prepare the way for Jesus. And her pregnancy was miraculous because she had been barren and God had blessed her and her husband with this baby. So this is Mary's cousin. Let's keep going to verse 27. It says, she, Mary, was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. He was from the lineage of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Look at verse 29. Look at her response. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Interesting response, right? Now, most of us, we would think that we would like to have an angel appear to us. That sounds like a nice thought, right? Because when you picture an angel, you think of some fat, like baby-looking thing playing a harp on a cloud, something cute, that kind of angel. But if an angel really appeared to you, you'd probably be a lot like Mary, confused and disturbed. You would probably wet yourself. Let's just be honest, okay? In fact, I think if an angel appeared to a New Yorker, most New Yorkers would probably try to fight the angel. Like, hey, you got a problem with me? I don't know you. You talking to me, huh? Right? That's just kind of how it is. Like, I don't even think we would know what to do with an angel. And so Mary is kind of a little bit freaked out here. Here she is. She's just a young girl who's planning her wedding. She's like any other bride, right? She's picturing her wedding day. She's betrothed, engaged to Joseph. And she's thinking about, you know, how perfect everything's going to be. She's been planning her wedding since she was a little kid, and she can't wait to be so pretty in her wedding dress. She's practicing writing her last name, her new last name. Come on. She's just got plans for a wedding. She wasn't looking for a divine encounter to interrupt her life. And here's the idea. What we call interruptions, God often sees as invitations. Somebody needs to write that down this morning. What we call interruptions, God often sees as an invitation to something higher and something greater and something better that he has for you. And we see this all throughout scripture, don't we? We see a man named Moses who was hiding out in the wilderness, trying to be incognito as a shepherd. And God interrupts his life with a burning bush and says, you're going to be the one to go deliver my people from the bondage of Egypt. We see God interrupting the plans of a prophet named Jonah who was running away from God, and God interrupts his plan with a great fish. Remember that story from Sunday school, from religious ed, right? God interrupts his plan with a great fish to get him back on track because he was supposed to go and preach salvation to the people of Nineveh. We see God interrupting the plans of a Pharisee named Saul who was persecuting Christians thinking he was doing God's work, and Jesus appears to him, knocks him off of his horse on the road to Damascus and says, I have a different assignment for you. In fact, I'm going to change your name to Paul. I'm going to change your life. You're going to become an apostle to go and bring this good news to the Gentiles. These were interruptions that became a divine invitation to something better. And I think many of us, what we often do is we shake off God's invitation because we consider it to be an interruption in our lives. God interrupts our plans, but we're too busy. We got too much going on. Without even realizing it, we can shake off a divine invitation, calling it an interruption when God has something better and greater and something new for our lives. And so if you will just be sensitive in those moments, that's what we want, right? To just be sensitive to how God might be interrupting us and to see it as a divine invitation. Just maybe, perhaps God is inviting us to something new that we didn't even see, we didn't have planned for our lives, something that we could have never predicted. God wants to do something new in our lives. Oh, come on, this isn't a far-fetched idea. Some of you, you've got your own interruption stories. You're surrounded by people sitting in this room today that you have your own divine interruption stories. Some of you, you had a friend who went to church here, who loved this church. They were all about redemption. Come on, we got some people who love their church and they invite their friends and they kept inviting you and you're like, I'm busy. I haven't been to church in years. I kind of gave up on the whole church thing, but they wouldn't let up on you. And you finally said, okay, I'll go with you one Sunday. Come on, you walked in here. It was supposed to be one Sunday to interrupt your schedule. And you got here. And before you could even get into the theater, there were smiling people, shaking your hand, giving you high fives, giving you coffee and donuts. And you started to warm up a little bit. You found your heart kind of strangely open to this whole church thing. Then you got in here and, you know, you began to be surrounded by the worship and something in your heart began to melt. And you began to sense like the presence of God, the Holy Spirit working in your heart. And then you heard the message and it was like the message was just for you. Like, what is the pastor been reading my emails or something? Like, The message was just for me. And something happened and your faith came alive. And the Holy Spirit ignited your faith and it drew you to Jesus Christ. And you placed your faith in him. Come on. What seemed like an interruption turned into a divine invitation to a whole new life for you. It was an interruption for you. Some of you were busy. You had enough going on with life and work and bills and chores, but then you heard about this opportunity to serve. Get out and serve people, right? And you were busy, but you felt your heart drawn to this thing and you couldn't get away from it. And before you knew it, you're standing in line, signing up to get a blue t-shirt. I don't even know why I'm doing this. I got work to do at my own house and I'm about to go out and do some work for some other people and get a blue t-shirt. What am I doing here? But you got out there and you got your eyes off of yourself and you loved on somebody else and God began to do something in your heart and you saw how you could make a difference and you got so fired up, you came back and you got on the dream team. Come on, even though you're busy, and now your favorite day is one Sunday a month. You get to love on kids back in Redemption Kids. Come on, it was an interruption for you that turned out to be a divine invitation. This happens all the time, right? For some of you, you had a friend who was in need, and man, it was a busy season of your own life. You know, so much going on and not a lot of time, but you had a friend who was in need, who was in hurt, who was hurting, who needed you, and like you just couldn't get away from it. It was on your heart to help them, and you stepped out and you loved on your friend, and you felt the love of God pour into your life and through you and overflow from you as you blessed your friend, and you recognized what seemed like an interruption became a divine invitation for you to minister to somebody else. I'm just telling you, this happens all the time. What we think is an interruption, God often uses as a divine invitation to something greater, to a higher calling, to a higher purpose. An angel of the Lord appears to a young girl who has plans for her life. She's going to be a bride soon. She's engaged to Joseph. She's planning a wedding. And the angel says to her, hey, Mary, God has something different planned for you. God has something different planned for you. Be careful, be sensitive to those divine interruptions that turn into invitations. Here's our question, what are we talking about here? Why are we often afraid of God's plans? If we're honest, sometimes we don't wanna be bothered by them. Sometimes we're afraid of all that God might be asking of us. Here's the second reason. The second is this, God's purpose is often different than your plans. How many of you have discovered this? God's purpose is often different than your plans. Look at this, verse 30. Let's keep going. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. In the more traditional translations, like in the King James, he says, fear not. There's that word for us, right? Fear not, Mary, because you have found favor with God. Like the favor of God is upon your life. Now think about Mary and her stage of life and her season of life, what that could have meant to her. It could have meant all kind of different things, right? But I'm sure for her, like favor, okay, this is really good. Like what did she have in mind? Like I'm gonna have a really happy marriage, right? Like this guy Joseph is gonna turn out to be a really good match for me. Or maybe this means we're gonna have a house full of healthy and happy kids. Or maybe Joseph is gonna come into some inheritance that we don't know about. And our life is gonna be a lot better than my life was growing up. Who knows what it meant for her? Come on, this would be like you as a bride. If any of you have been, you know, a bride before, or you're a bride to be, this would be like an angel appearing to you and saying, God has found favor with you and you've been selected for a wedding reality show. We're gonna pay for you, all expenses paid, destination wedding. Come on, sign me up for some favor. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Mary had in mind what favor meant for her. And oftentimes we have our own plans. Like, you know, we want God's favor and his plan to fit into our box. But how many of you knew that the angel Gabriel had something else in mind for her? Let's look at it. Look at this, verses 31 and 33. This is what God had in mind for her. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Talk about a different plan, right? Here's what the angel said. Here's what God has in mind for you. You're gonna give birth to the Son of God. Like you're gonna give birth to the Savior of the world, to the Messiah, like the long-awaited Messiah that your people have prayed for and longed for centuries. Like you are going to give birth to this child. Talk about God having a different plan for your life, right? Can you imagine what Mary was experiencing at this time as she vacillated back and forth from interruption to divine invitation to being overwhelmed and humbled by this amazing honor she's being chosen for, and yet at the same time the pendulum swings to the emotions of the fear of the unknown and being overwhelmed by this news. I mean, I'm sure she began to think about, you know, what are people going to think about me being pregnant and not being married yet? This was a big deal back then. A woman being pregnant out of wedlock, like you could be killed for something like this in Old Testament times. This is just part of life back then. And then can you imagine, you know, as she begins to think about like sharing this news with Joseph, how'd you like to be a fly on the wall for that conversation? Hey, Joseph, I've got some really big news for you. I'm pregnant. And it's from the Holy Spirit. And Joseph's like, okay, I'm going to need some time to process this, right? I mean, imagine what she was experiencing, right? How overwhelming this was for her. I mean, God's purposes are so often different than the plans that we have for our lives. I mean, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His plan is often different for us. And some of you have experienced this. For example, some of you might be here and you had dreams of having a perfectly healthy family, and you were pregnant and you found out you were gonna have a special needs child, and there was this sense of why us and how could this happen to us and why not somebody else, but you had no idea that you were gonna bring this child into the world and God was gonna teach you to love like you had never loved before, that this child was gonna cause you to become more like Jesus than anything else that could have happened to you. And you begin to recognize that God's plan was different from your plan. Some of you went through a season where you lost a job and it seemed like a disaster. Like, how could God allow this to happen to me? What am I going to do? And you ran out of options. And the only thing you could do is finally start that business that you've had in the back of your mind all of these years anyway. And years later, you look back and you see what seemed like a curse turned out to be a blessing because God's hand was on you. He had different plans for your life. He just had different plans for your life. Some of you, I've heard this story time and time again. You were in a relationship with someone, the person who seemed like just the right person for you. You thought you were gonna marry this person, and the relationship didn't work out and it ended badly and you were hurt. And there was this sense of, am I ever gonna find a love like that again? Am I ever gonna find a relationship like that again? But God had something so much better for you. Can I get an amen, somebody? Come on, I've experienced this. When I was in Bible college, there were plenty of girls that I saw myself being with. I thought I could marry this one, I could marry that one. But God had a little girl from Buffalo, New York, who could lead worship and organize a church like nobody's business. And he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Can I get an amen, somebody? God had something better for you. God had something better for you. Now, some of you, there might be a young lady today, you're sensing, I'm gonna go out and upgrade. Come on, I gotta go out and upgrade. I gotta make a phone call. There's a conversation I have to have. Like, I've settled a little bit. I've settled a little bit. We gotta talk because God has something so much better for me. Don't settle for second best. God's plan is better than your plan, amen? Oftentimes his plan, it's just different. It's just different than the way we would have drawn things up. It's so different for us. And you know, I thought many years ago that I was gonna be the senior pastor of a church in Western New York. I had been there for a few years and things were looking like I was gonna be the next pastor there. And I was starting to make plans around that. But how many of you know God has a sense of humor and God has different ways than our ways, and God had a better plan and he had something so much better for me. Come on, no looking back, no second thoughts. I can tell you right now, God had something so much bigger and better for my life. And I couldn't see it at the time. It looked a whole lot different than the way I would have drawn it up, but he had a different plan. Look at this in verse 34, Luke chapter 1, verse 34. Look at Mary's response to the angel. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I am a virgin. I mean, he announces this amazing news. You're going to be pregnant. You're going to give birth to the Savior. And Mary's like, that's amazing. That's all good and wonderful, but stop the bus. Like, I paid attention in biology class. Like, how is this possible, right? Like, I've never been with a man before. Like, this is outside of the realm of what's possible. And let me just tell you this morning, church. There will come a time in your life, if you haven't experienced this before, if you walk with God long enough, there will come a time in your life when God will interrupt your life with an invitation to a greater purpose, a divine purpose for your life. And it's going to require you to trust God. God's gonna ask you to do something, to believe something, and you're gonna have to trust him. You're gonna have to step out in faith and believe him. And your natural response is gonna be something like this. I don't see how that's possible. I don't see how that's possible. Like, God, you're asking me to forgive that person. God, how is it possible for me to forgive them after what they did to me, after what they said about me? I don't see how it's possible. God, how is it possible that you're asking me to be a giver right now? You're asking me to be a tither right now when I don't even have enough finances. I don't even know how to take care of myself, and yet you're asking me to be generous. God, I don't know how it could be possible for me to experience reconciliation in my marriage. Like, too much has happened. It's over with. How is it possible for me to believe for healing for that person? Like, we already got the report from the doctor. They said, just prepare to say your goodbyes. Like, God, how could this be possible? And look at the story. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 35, and then we'll skip to verse 37. Look at the angel, his reply. The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Come on, Mary, this is impossible with you, but God is doing something. This is going to be a divine work of God. "So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." Look at verse 37. "For the word of God will never fail." I love the traditional translation that puts it this way. Read this out loud with me on the screen. "For nothing is impossible with God." Oh, come on. You ought to say that like you believe it. "For nothing is impossible with God." Come on, somebody, you came to church this morning, and I don't know who you are. I don't know who needs to hear this, but you came here today and you're facing something in life and it seems impossible right now. But I came here to tell you this morning that nothing is impossible with God. He's an all-powerful God. He's an all-knowing God. One word from God can change everything. He's the God who's able to do immeasurably more than all you could ask or imagine. And nothing is impossible with God. With you, it might be impossible. With man, it might be impossible. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. For nothing will be impossible with God. The word of God will never fail. And some of you need to grab a hold of that today. Somebody needs to grab a hold of that promise. God might ask you to believe something that seems unbelievable for you. It's a stretch of faith for you, or to attempt to do something that you could never do on your own. And that's the point. It wouldn't take faith if you could do it on your own. How many of you know that's the way faith works? Like, it wouldn't take faith if you could do it on your own. If God is stretching you to believe something that's not easy to believe, if God is speaking to you and calling you to do something that's not easy for you to do, that's outside of the realm of your own possibility, that's exactly what faith is all about. Faith is what gives us the ability to do what God has called us to do. Hebrews says nothing, like, it's impossible to please God without faith, right? It's impossible to please him without faith. That's what faith is all about. And so here's the question I have for you this morning, church. What is God asking you to do or believe? What is God asking you to do or believe? For some of you, there's an immediate answer. It's like right there. There's something you've been praying about, something you've been pondering, something's been stirring in your spirit, and you already know. Like, I've been praying about this. I've been praying about this move or this decision or something that I've just felt like for some time God's asking me to do this or believe for the first time in a long time for this. I think for some of you, like, you're going to pray about this. This is a question that I'm going to invite you to pray over in the coming weeks and days, and I believe God is going to speak to you. Come on, we believe God is a God who still speaks to us, and so he can use scripture. He can use a worship song. He can use a still small voice of the Holy Spirit when you're in prayer. He can use another believer to come to you and speak a prophetic word into your life that'll shift your whole reality. God still speaks to us. And I believe for some of you, God is going to ask you to do something or to believe something. And as you pray about different things, are going to come to you. For some of you, it's going to be to start something that's been in your heart for a long time. And God's going to say, it's now. Now is the season to start that thing, to step out in faith. For some of you, it might be going back to school. Now's the time to go back and get that degree. I place that desire in your heart, and I want you to step out in faith to believe for it. For some of you, God's going to ask you to forgive someone. Like, he's going to ask you to be the one to initiate the process of reconciliation. For you to want to be the one to pick up the phone and call that person and reach out to them. For some of you, like, God's stirring up the gift of generosity in your heart as you come into this Christmas season. Like, maybe God's going to put it on your heart to give in the Christmas offering. Like, you've always wanted to do something like that. You've always wanted to be a giver, and you're one of those people, like, it's really hard for you to be a giver, and God's going to put it on your heart. Step out in faith and give like you've never given before, and watch how I stretch your heart and it never goes back to being the same size. Come on, for some of you, like, God's going to put it on your heart to bless someone. someone this Christmas season. There's going to be a family member, a friend in need, and you've had this sense like somebody should do something about that, and the Holy Spirit's going to say, you're that somebody, and he's going to put it on your heart to do something. Come on, God is going to speak to your heart. And here's my encouragement for you. When you step out in faith, when you step out in faith to do the thing that God is calling you to do, I want you to remember this. Are you ready? Remember this. Outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is yours. Would you read that out loud with me? Outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is yours. And you might have a sense of, well, I don't know how this is going to happen, how this is going to work out, where the finances are going to come from. Outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is yours. Well, I don't know what's going to happen if I reach out to make that phone call. Are they even going to take my, call? How are they going to respond? Outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is yours. We're going to let God do what only he can do, and we're going to focus on what he's calling us to do. Come on, we're going to take care of what we can do, and we're going to trust God with the results, but we're going to be obedient. We're going to step out in faith. Outcome is God's responsibility, and obedience is yours. All you're called to do is to be obedient. Come on, all you're called to do is be obedient. Can I tell you, I've lived this and I've learned this the hard way. You know, many of you know our story. A few years ago, like God put a stirring and a call in our heart to plant a church and to move from upstate New York to Westchester, even though we didn't know anybody, to come here and start a church. And you know, I spent the better part of 2014 asking God questions like, well, God, where's the money gonna come from? Where's the provision gonna come from? Where are the people gonna come from? What if we open this church and nobody shows up? Like, what if I ruin my whole ministry? What if I ruin my whole career? Can I just tell you, I spent all of 2014 asking those questions, but outcome was God's responsibility. My job was just to be obedient. And can I tell you, the best thing that ever happened to me is I finally got to this place with God. I finally got to this place of saying, God, we didn't come this far to give up. God, we didn't come this far and put everything on the line financially and our whole ministry and our whole career and everything to just give up at this point. God, I'm going to step out and do what you called me to do, and it might blow up in my face. And nobody might show up, and I might make a fool of myself, and I don't know if it's going to work out, but God, here's what I know. I'm going to step out and do what you called me to do, and whatever happens, I can always look back and say, years from now, God, I did what I felt like you were calling me to do. And come on, we stepped out in faith, and we opened this church, and God showed up. And he's blessed it because outcome is his responsibility and obedience is yours. Your job is just to be obedient, to trust God with the results, to trust him to do the rest. And it may look different than you thought it was going to look like, and it may not turn out the way you thought it was going to turn out, but your job is just to step out in faith and to trust him and to live a life of surrender, just like Mary, just like this young virgin, this maiden girl just waiting to be married, who was interrupted with a divine invitation to a greater purpose, and she was open to it, and she was obedient. God is calling you and me to live the same way. Look at Mary's response here. Look at her amazing response. Here's this angel Gabriel who drops this bomb on her, right? I mean, this amazing bombshell news on her that she's going to give birth to the Messiah, messes up her plans, invades her life, interrupts her life. And imagine, we already know all the things that could go through her mind. We know she could have been overwhelmed by fear and doubt. But look at her amazing response in verse 38. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And the angel left her. Wow, what a response. I love the traditional translations where Mary says, may it be done to me as you have said. May everything that you have said be done to me. First of all, she recognizes, look at this. She responds, I am the Lord's servant. She remembers who she is and whose she is. She recognizes, like, my life does not belong to me. Like, I am a bondservant of the Lord. My life belongs to him. Whatever he wants to do with it, that's fine with me. Come on, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing for us to get a hold of as Christians in this Advent season, to have a sense of, God, my life is yours. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I am a servant of God. My life isn't about me when it's all said and done. God, my life belongs to you. Jesus, you gave everything for me, and so my life belongs to you, God. My life for your glory, my life for your kingdom, my life for your purpose. God, I'm your servant, God. Come on, that's who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. It'll change your life to posture your heart that way. And then to be able to say, God, I trust you. Mary was able to say, God, I trust that your plan is good for me. God, I trust that your plan is good for my life. Like your plan, God, I may not understand everything you're going to do. God, I might not understand how you're going to do this. God, I might not understand like what people are going to think of me when they see me pregnant with this child, what Joseph is going to think of me, what my family and friends are going to think of me. I might be like young and not married and not really ready to have a baby, but God, I trust that you're a good God. And if it's a plan from you, if it's a purpose that you have for my life, I trust that what you have for me is good for me. And so God, I'm not going to worry about how it's all going to work out. But Mary said, God, outcome is your responsibility and obedience is mine. May it be done to me as you have said. May everything that you have said about me come to pass, come true. And you know what? Mary came into agreement with the word of God and a creative miracle took place in her life at that very moment. Come on, some of you, you need to know that. You're expecting and believing for a miracle in your life. If you want to experience God's work in your life, you got to come into agreement with God's word for your life. And here's the truth. A lot of times God's word in your life, it shows up like an interruption, but it's a divine invitation to a greater purpose and a greater plan for your life. And so we want to come into agreement with the word of God for our lives. God, whatever it is, it may be difficult. God, it might stretch me. God, it might require me to have more faith than I've had in a long time. God, it might cause me to have to step out and do something that's a little bit uncomfortable. God, you might be asking me to open up my home and start a life group. It's about time. I know you've been challenging me to do it. What if my house isn't perfect? God, you might be asking me to start serving and get on the dream team, even though I'm busy. God, you might be asking me to become a giver, to become a tither. God, you might be asking me to love this person, to meet this need, to do whatever. And God, I'm not sure how it's all going to work out, but may it be done unto me as you have said, because outcome is your responsibility and obedience is mine. Come on, I'm going to keep preaching this till you get it in your heart this morning, church, because God has something so much more for you. Quit shaking off his interruptions. Quit shaking them off. Grab a hold of them. Let's get sensitive in our hearts and position ourselves in this Advent season to say, God, I want everything that you have for me. Come on, anybody, you want that? God, I want everything that you have for me, God, and I'm open. I am your servant. May it be done to me as you have said. Come on, we're going to pray that this morning. Why don't you stand with me? And that's our question. We're going to put on the screen for you to meditate on. Here's our question. Here's what we're going to pray about. God, what are you leading me to do or believe? What are you leading me to do or believe? Somebody need to take out your phone, snap a picture of that, put it in your notes if you didn't already. Here's the question I'm going to ask you to pray over with me, okay? During this Advent season, over the next few weeks, God, what are you leading me to do or believe? In this season of preparation for the coming of your son, for the celebration of the nativity of your son. God, what are you leading me to do or believe? I'm letting go of fear. I'm letting go of anxiety. I'm letting go of doubt. And I'm preparing my heart for whatever you would have for me, God, because I'm your servant. Whatever you're asking me to do or believe, may it be done to me as you have said, oh God. That's our prayer. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you're a God who still speaks in our lives. God, I thank you that for every person in this place, you have a good purpose for their lives. God, you want to use them. And Lord, today we choose to recognize your interruptions as divine invitations to a greater purpose, a greater plan for our lives, to something new and better for our lives. God, our response today is we are your servants. Would you pray that with me? Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant. And God, whatever you're asking us to do or believe, we say, may it be done to me as you have said. Would you pray that with me? May it be done unto me as you have said. May every word that you've spoken over my life come to pass. Father, do it for every person in this place. We thank you for it. And if you believe it, would you say along with me in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.